This past week, I joined our bishop with the other bishops, priests, and deacons in this diocese for our annual conference in Riverhead. And this time, for the most part, we spoke about, basically the spiritual side of our faith and our worship. There were a few reflections, but it was a lot of opportunity for us to just share with one another some of the more glorious moments of our lives as clergy. Now, during this conference, we did have one speaker who spoke about the gospel, or more, to be more exact, the gospel book, and reminded us that, any of you, if you've been to a history museum, an art museum, many of you might have seen those beautiful gospel covers. Those ones that were made in beautiful gold and jewels and, just very intricate design. Things that were, if we even had a fraction of, we would have no building problems and money. And it was a reminder that in the early church, it was not the cross that we follow it in. It was the good news. Where today we would have the crucifer coming, leading us. In those days, it would have been the good news coming in. And actually, the crucifer's original purpose was to lead the gospel in. And now, in many ways, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else, the gospel kind of gets moved to the side. Sometimes it gets propped up in the beginning of the altar. And I think it's about time that we brought the good news back to its place of prominence, not only in our worship, not only in our worship space, but in our lives. In our readings today, we hear a lot about love and a lot about joy. In our gospel, Jesus tells his apostles, that by abiding in his love, they will know true joy. And that true joy will be known in the sharing of love for one another. See, that's what the good news is all about. We are currently reading some of the Gospel of John, but year B, as we're in, is the time that is usually associated with St. Mark's Gospel, which starts off, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in our first reading, the book of Acts, this is, some time has gone past, the resurrection has happened, the ascension has happened, Pentecost has happened. So when we get to the part where we were reading today in the book of Acts, we have Peter going out into the crowds, as are the other apostles and disciples, and they're teaching about Jesus. And this particular crowd is a little unusual because it is made up hugely of Gentiles, non-Jewish people. Now, up to this point, the church has been basically a small sect of Judaism. The original apostles were all Jews, as were most of the disciples. And today you have Peter preaching to them, and we're told that a spirit of the Lord came over these people. The Holy Spirit came over these people, these Gentiles. And there and then, Peter understood that the good news is not just for one small group of people, but it's for everyone. And he made it clear that day that these people filled with the Spirit were worthy of baptism, just as all his Jewish brothers and sisters who were following Christ were worthy of baptism. But coming with baptism is some responsibilities. And one of the main responsibilities is to proclaim the good news, to go share that love in the world in which we live. It doesn't do us any good each week to come here and read about the good news and to talk about it in here and not take it out. The good news was never meant to be kept as, you know, kind of a private secret. It was meant to be brought out. Because this is Jesus' words to us, his message of hope, of redemption. It is a reminder that our God wants nothing more than to be with us, to share God's love with us, and for us to share it with others. This morning, I had the pleasure of officiating at a baptism in Mastic Beach. Little girl, about 8-9 months old, Abigail. Happy kid, but you know, it was one of those people, it took two people to basically hold her to baptize her. Not because she didn't want the struggle, she just was that much full of life. And as we were pouring the water over her forehead, you know, and, you know, getting ready to baptize you, Abigail, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, she started giggling. I mean, there was just this complete joy. The joy I am sure that Jesus is talking about, that pure natural joy. Being enveloped with love. That little girl knew that she had the love of her parents. She knew that those who were around her were loving her. And I'm sure, in a way that most of us have somehow forgotten, she felt the love of God. And in her joy, you know, there's always that fun part when at the peace you get to lift the baby up and you introduce her as the newly baptized. And she's just beaming. And I'm thinking about what is it like if all of us went out into the world like that, leaving church and just beaming with that love, ready to share it with others. Realize that this love that we are so freely given, this good news, is too big to keep, too big to hold on to, that it has to be shared. Now, I know I've used this analogy numerous times, but it is like the light of a candle. During the season of Easter this great 50 days until the morning of the day of Pentecost, we burn the Paschal candle. And then throughout the rest of the year, we burn it as a reminder of Jesus' presence at baptisms, at funerals, at weddings, at confirmations. Basically, any sacrament, the candle is burning to remind us of the Easter joy of a Jesus who comes into the world to light the way for us. Now, this morning, of course, as all most baptisms, you know, we have, as we do here, those smaller candles that, you know, we light from the big candle, we hand to the godparents or the parents, and for the child to, you know, this goes home with the child as a reminder of the light of Christ. Now, when we lit that candle, it did nothing to diminish the light of the Paschal candle. Honestly, you can light as many candles as you want off of that, and you're not going to diminish that flame. But instead, you're going to make the world brighter. And that's what it is to bring the love of Christ into the world. To bring that joy that little girl had this morning to the world in which we live. You know, that old, I don't know about all, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I remember in the summers when we had our little summer camp thing, Bible camp thing, we used to sing, sing that old song, "They Know We Are Christians by Our Love." And I think most denominations, sing it. Or then there's that other one, "This Little Light of Mine." But the thing is when you go out in the world today, would anybody ever mistake you for a Christian by your actions? Or would they be surprised to find you were a Christian by your actions? You know, if I have to drive the LIE, probably not, but but you know, we're all called to do our best to proclaim Christ, to bring Christ out in the world. You know, the old Franciscan saying, you know, in all that you do, proclaim the good news, only when necessary use words. And then there's that other little saying, you may be the only gospel someone sees today. I hope that when you go out the door today, when you go out into the world, whether you join those who are leaving afterwards to go prepare the luncheon, the barbecue over there at Veterans Place, or if you're going elsewhere, that you will bring that good news to other people, that you will be like the gospel book, being carried in procession so others can see the word of Jesus. That you will bring flesh to the word. You are Christ's hands in the world. You are his feet. You are his face. I encourage you to shine, to live into your baptismal covenant, and allow others to know that the love of God is not only alive in the world, but that it continues to shine.